Our second scripture lesson this morning comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 1, and near the end of that passage, verses 43 through 51. I invite you now to hear and attend God's word. The next day, Jesus decided to leave for Galilee, and finding Philip, he said to him, "Follow me." Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida. And Philip found Nathanael and told him, "We have found the one Moses wrote about in the law, and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." "Nazareth? Can anything good come from there?" Nathanael asked. "Come and see," said Philip. When Jesus saw Nathanael approaching, he said to him, "Here is a true Israelite in whom there is nothing false." "How do you know me?" Nathanael asked. And Jesus answered, "I saw you while you were still under the fig tree before Philip called you." Then Nathanael declared, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." And Jesus said, "You believe because I told you I saw you under the fig tree? You shall see greater things than that." He then added, I tell you the truth, you shall see heaven open and angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. May God add his blessing to this reading of his holy word. You may recall, several years ago, there was a commercial on television that caught the nation's imagination, I think. It was a commercial message that stated that there was a great poem being written and that we, each and every one of us, are allowed to add one line to that poem. And then the commercial ended saying, "What will your line be?" In other words, what are you planning to contribute to this world? Now, we in the church know that God has a place for each and every one of us in accomplishing God's purposes. And we often ask that same question, "What will my contribution be?" But the church is a dangerous place for families for that reason. You say, "Why? How could it be dangerous? Never been dangerous as far as I know, right?" Well, ask my father. My father took me to church when I was a youngster. My grandmother, his mother, encouraged me along the way. She was probably my first Sunday school teacher. And even though my father did not know what he was doing, he introduced me to my life's work, to my calling, if you will. But he didn't agree with that calling. I remember when I went to my father and I finally realized that I feel called to the ministry, I said, "Dad, I'm going to go to seminary." And he looked at me right in the eye and he said, "Why on earth would you do that?" But that's a risk we run when we bring our children to church. If we read our Bibles, we know that coming to church can sometimes be a perilous adventure. Because we do come into the very presence of Almighty God, and God's Holy Spirit is present. Jesus himself is present in the power of the Holy Spirit. He said it himself, "Wherever two or more are gathered, there I will be also." And our God is not a tame God. Our God does what our God wants to do. The Bible records many, many times that coming into the presence of God can bring unexpected, even dangerous consequences. Think about Moses. I mentioned the burning bush in my prayer today, and I realized, you know, Moses came there. He was an escaped murderer. And here, God took hold of his life and sent him back to the place where he was wanted for murder. Sent him back to Egypt to do God's will, to do God's bidding. It can be a little dangerous to come into the presence of Almighty God. Think about it further on in the story when God's people gathered at the foot of Mount Sinai to make their covenant with God. God warned Moses very carefully. He said, keep those people away from touching the mountain or they will die. And so Moses had a fence actually erected so the people couldn't touch the mountain or come near it. Isaiah, the prophet, he was called into the presence of Almighty God to find out that he was to be a prophet. And when God spoke to Isaiah, Isaiah fell down and cried out, woe is me, for I am a man of unclean lips. And the angel promptly brought a hot coal from the brazier and applied it to his lips. Jacob wrestled with God, and he wound up with a new name and a dislocated hip, a limp for the rest of his days. Coming into the presence of God is not all peaches and cream. God has a claim on us. Our God is sovereign, and God acts only according to his will, which may at times seem dangerous to us. Even though we come to celebrate God's love and his care for us, we have to apply a little caution. For we are reminded that God is that God that intrudes upon your comfort zone, invades your space, and often causes upheaval and change. We're going to be setting aside some people as servants of the church today. The ordination and installation of people to do specific works in the church. They don't know what kind of challenges they may meet in the future. I cannot predict. Who would have predicted that we would have a pandemic at this time, that our churches would be meeting in this distance situations the way we are? We couldn't have possibly known that was coming. But our session, led by the power of the Holy Spirit, has guided us through wisely. By the power of the Holy Spirit, got us through a difficult time in the life of the church. And we're continuing, of course, in that difficult time. But that's the reason for God's calling. God calls people with their particular skills and talents that God knows what's coming next month, next year. And God has selected his people to be there to help meet that challenge. Now, I've questioned that in my own calling. I remember when I finally begrudgingly said, okay, God, I will become one of your ministers, but I can't speak in public. So I'll be a chaplain in a hospital. How about that? I've got a nice little quiet hospital somewhere, and I can be your chaplain there. I can fulfill my calling. But God took a little seminary professor, a woman about this tall, who was a fiery, wonderful preacher. And she was my preaching teacher. And the first time I preached a timid sermon, she took me aside and shook her finger in my face and said, how dare you? How dare you treat the calling of God with such frivolousness? If God calls you to preach the word, you preach the word. And you don't let yourself get in the way. I learned from Mrs. Ochtemeyer. That's with Elizabeth Ochtemeyer, by the way, was my preaching professor. And I think some of her sermons are still available somewhere online if you'd like to hear a wonderful preacher. But she set me straight. She shook me up and said, you know, this is a real thing. God has called you and God has given you what you need. You just need to go do it. And I did. So God will help us and expect us to step out of our comfort zone. I didn't think I'd ever be a preacher. And God has hidden gifts and talents within us that will meet the challenge, and that perhaps sometimes gifts and talents that we don't even know that we have ourselves. Now, you may remember Andrew Young. He was a pastor. He was a civil rights leader, worked with Martin Luther King. He was a congressman. He was the mayor of Atlanta at one time, and he was the ambassador to the United Nations, a prominent man in our country's life. Andrew Young had four children, and he encouraged them to be active in their local churches. His elder daughter followed her father's advice and became deeply involved with her church. And as a result of her involvement, she felt God's call upon her to go to Uganda with Habitat for Humanity and to build homes for the poor and oppressed in Uganda. Now, this was a time when Uganda was a very violent and dangerous place to be. Andrew Young confessed, "I tried to talk her out of it," he said. "I wanted her to go to church. I wanted her to go to church and find a nice Christian man to marry, settle down and have children, have a normal life. I didn't intend for her to go to Uganda, but I couldn't deny that she was called by God." So parents, keep this in mind when you bring your children to church. You may not be prepared with what God will do for them or with them, and what God's claims and calls might be to them. Now, our Old Testament lesson bears this out. You remember the story of Hannah. I just told it to the kids a few moments ago. She was childless, but she prayed for a child. She promised if God would give her a son, she would dedicate him to the service in the temple. God gave her Samuel, and she kept her promise, sending Samuel to serve Eli the priest, a safe, cozy place for her son to live out his days. But God had other plans. In our lesson this morning, God literally calls Samuel when he's still a child. A word from God was rare in those days. Samuel, the scriptures tell us, didn't even know God yet. And God did not call to the priest Eli or any of the other priests who served in the temple. God singled out young Samuel, laid claim on his life, and made him one of the most powerful prophets recorded in the Old Testament. He's the kingmaker. He would anoint and counsel the first kings of Israel. Probably not what Hannah had in mind for her little boy. We can never know what God has in store for us, but we can know that God has his eye upon us for good, according to all of God's purposes. Now, Nathanael found that out when he was first introduced to Jesus. Philip called Nathanael to come meet Jesus. And his first response was, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Apparently, Nazareth had a bad reputation at that time. But when Nathanael met Jesus, he changed his mind about Nazareth. He said, and Jesus looked at him and said, "Hey, here's an Israelite that doesn't hide his feelings. He doesn't lie. He speaks the truth." Nathanael said, "How do you know me?" And Jesus said, "Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you." And Jesus had his eye on Philip long before Philip ever knew Jesus. And Philip was bowled over. He said, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." And Jesus said, "Hey, you believe just because I saw you under the fig tree? You wait and see. Philip, you're going to see things far greater than that. You're going to see heavens open and the angels ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." Whatever our expectations are from God, God will always surprise us. He'll surprise us with experiences deeper and richer and wider than our wildest dreams. I wouldn't trade anything for the experience of following God in Jesus Christ. All the wealth, all of the privilege that's out there, that's for someone else. Like Jacob, I say, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." It is an awesome thing to meet God. The outcome is unpredictable, even dangerous, from our point of view. But God has his eye on us for good. according to God's will and purpose for our lives, we will be blessed. That's one thing you can have confidence in. Yes, we have an unpredictable God, and he may call us to do difficult and dangerous things, but it will always be for our good and will be a blessing to our lives. Now, today we're going to celebrate God's call to new classes of elders and deacons. As we do so, I hope that you will be mindful of the lesson that we've read today. For just as God calls individual people for distinct purposes, God is also calling us corporately as a church. In the midst of this time of transition, one of our jobs is to discern the call of God in this time in the life of the church, this post-Russell Lee time of the church. We're making a new beginning. We are transitioning to a new identity as a church. What will that identity be? What is God calling us to be in the year 2021? Mission that joins our personal missions together is there. We are all going to be called upon by God to advance his kingdom in this world and in this place. God has his eye on you, just as God has his eye on me. And just as God watched over Nathaniel and Samuel, God watches over us all to bring goodness and a rich fulfillment to each one of our lives. To him be the glory. Amen and amen. Join me in a moment of prayer. Almighty God, thank you. Thank you so very much for your tender care, for your calling. Though we resist it sometimes, we don't always want to go where you call us. And sometimes we even go to the extremes, jumping overboard, being swallowed by a fish. Or one of the other many ways that we try to escape you, but somehow your will is done. May we hear for your voice. May we hear your calling and respond. Speak to us, O God, for we are listening. In the name of Jesus, amen.